Hello, friends. Welcome back. This is the Gita, Memoirs of a Psychiatrist, and we are on chapter 3, verse number 38. Please go back and listen to verse 36 and 37 if you haven't, because it'll make more sense when you do that.
That's episode 43.
Episode 43.
Very important.
Today's episode 44.
Right.
Okay. So in verse 38, Krishna says, just as fire is enveloped by smoke, or just as a mirror is covered by dust, or just as an embryo gets covered by the womb, in the same way desire and anger covers it. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Right? First of all, he's talking about, if you listen to the previous episode, desire and anger were described as Krishna at least four times as an enemy,
right,
that needs to be killed.
As a soul enemy, as you pointed out in the last episode, that he doesn't separate them.
No. Yeah. Desire and anger together are kama krodh, is an enemy. And today he's saying it covers it. It refers to here the Atman. He says, your own true self, the real you, is being covered by your desire and anger. You don't see it. But he says, it is covered as a fire is covered by smoke. So think of yourself, think like a campfire in the woods. There's a fire and all around it is smoke. You can see the fire through the smoke, but there's a lot of smoke.
Right.
Or think of going up in the attic and finding an old mirror that's been covered with dust for years, and the mirror being covered by dust. Or think of a baby inside its mother's womb. He says, kama krodha, desire, covers your Atman in the similar way, as smoke or dust or the embryo. Why the difference? Why three differences? We'll come to that. So in this verse, verse 38, he talks of it. It covers the Atman. In the next verse, he says, the same desire and anger covers your own knowledge and your wisdom. So we talked last time about knowledge being very superficial. For instance, anybody who's listening to somebody talking about the Gita is getting knowledge.
Right.
And it's superficial. It hasn't really sunk in. And that's why the Gita says you've got to keep going over this manana again and again, reflecting on what you hear, in order for it to sink in, to become second nature, to become part of your prakriti. It's got to go in and deep-seated inside you.
As you were talking about this in the last episode, I kept thinking it's lumber at a construction site. It's just sitting there. You have it, but until it's built into the house, it's not of much use.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like water that you're giving to a tree.
Right.
You know, if you just sprinkle a few little drops, it's going to stay on the surface. It doesn't really go down into the roots. This wisdom, this knowledge that you get has to become part of your wisdom, so it becomes second nature to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he says that desires cover the self, the human being. But the desires can be different kinds of desires. Sattvic desires, which are purer, more equanimous, like a thin bed sheet, like a thin bed sheet made of muslin. Rajasic desires, which are like a woolen blanket compared to a thin sheet. Or tamasic desires, which are like a huge, thick down comforter on you.
Yeah.
So these are the three kinds of coverings that you have. You means the Atman, the self. The Atman covered by all of these different coverings. Now, when he says smoke covers the fire, two things in every one of these examples. One is, can you see the Atman through the covering?
Right.
So in the case of fire and smoke, he's saying smoke is the desire and the anger, whereas the fire is the Atman. Very easy to see the fire in spite of the smoke covering it.
Right.
Right? No matter how black the smoke is, you can still see the fire.
That's right.
That's the one thing. You can see the Atman and you can see the divinity. Second thing is, how easy is it to remove these desires and anger? How easy is it to remove the smoke versus the dust versus the embryo? So in and through the smoke, you can see the fire. plus a little breeze or by blowing on it, the smoke goes away. That's what happens in a tamasic person. So suppose a person is very highly evolved, very studies the scriptures, thinks about it, becomes quite pure, and he has sattvic desires, desires to say, serve humanity, serve your teacher, your guru, to read the scriptures, to teach the scriptures. These are all sattvic desires, to do good things, to be charitable, to be a nice, good human being, help the homeless. These desires are covering the Atman. But in and through these desires, you can still see the divinity in the person.
All right, put your earpiece back in.
he towers with knowledge. Did you miss something
nope,
I was saying
nope,
before?
We heard it.
Okay, so these desires are covering the Atman, but in and through the desires, you can see the divinity in this sattvic person.
Right.
He's got desires, no doubt about it, but those desires are at a higher level. And you can see the divinity in him. He towers with knowledge. He's an embodiment of love. He just generates love and performs unselfish actions. Such a person has to put very little effort to get rid of those desires to get to the self, right? Just a little bit of blowing the smoke, and you see the divinity. For such a person, to get to the self is easy. For him to get to his wisdom, when a desire comes up that is not so good, for him to brush it away is much easier for him. Rajasic desires are like dust covering a mirror. Not just dust covering a mirror that is one day old, because that's very easy to remove, as easy as dust. But I'm talking about a dust that has sat there on a mirror in an attic for a basement for a long time. When the mirror is covered with dust for many years, two things. One is you cannot see the image. You can still see the image. It's blurry.
Right.
And second is it takes a lot of effort and elbow grease to remove the dust.
Right.
You have to scrub, scrub. You can remove it, but it takes hard work. And you can remove it, but then you can see it clearly. In the beginning, it was blurry. So when a person has rajasic desires, you cannot see the divinity in that person as clearly as you can see it in the sattvic. It's blurred. And to remove those rajasic desires takes a lot of effort. Third is tamasic desire. Tamasic desire is the really lazy person that really only thinks of himself, nothing else. It is analogized in this Gita verse to the self as the womb covering the embryo. Now, in a uterus which has the embryo in it, putting aside the fact that you can see it through other electronic means, the embryo is invisible to the naked eye.
Right.
And no matter what you do, I mean, I'm not talking about in those days, thousands of years ago, we didn't have medications that could actually cause the birth process to start sooner. He says, you have to wait until the embryo, the body, is ready to give up that. You cannot hasten it no matter what.
Right.
So in Rajas, the person is blurred. In Sattva, the divinity is purely visible. In Tamas, it's invisible. The divinity is completely unseen.
Right.
Tamasic means lazy, ignorant, lethargic, sleeping all the time. You can try to impart knowledge to them. You can try to convince them and teach them, but nothing works. It will take its time. Just like an embryo takes 9 months, you cannot do anything. Now, in the past, I've used this example where I've taken many people to Gautamji's lecture. Somebody who's sattvic, you only have to take him one time. And he says, oh, like when my wife took me. That person says, where have I been all this time? I want to keep going. Anybody who listens to this, that keeps listening again and again, is a sattvic person that says, I can't get enough of these teachings. And then graduates from listening to me to a guru that's talking at a higher level, talking about the Upanishads and so on. There's no harm in that. You keep looking for other gurus to learn. But a rajasic person needs to be dragged once, twice, three times, and then maybe he'll come. Tamasic person, you take them to Gautamji's lecture, he will be falling asleep in the lecture, and he never wants to come back. So in verse 39, Krishna says, O Arjuna, wisdom is covered by this constant enemy of the wise in the form of desire as insatiable fire. And in Sanskrit, he says, dush purena analena cha, which means is insatiable like fire. That is desire. So desire is compared to fire here because it's never full, never satisfied. From the day you are born until the day you die, you're covered by this desire, which is your enemy. It doesn't matter how much knowledge you have. Actually, it doesn't even matter how wise you are. When rajas, kam, and krodh, rajas, desire, and anger come and it takes over, all sattva is put aside, all your knowledge, all your wisdom is put aside. And if you have one weakness, it will overpower your knowledge, your wisdom, and your control.
Yes.
In the scriptures, we have seen, you've heard of Lord Shiva?
Yes.
Lord Shiva sits on the Himalayas and he's doing penance for 14 years at a time, and he sits up there and he does penance and he's got snakes around him, you know, and he's completely oblivious to everything. Lord Shiva is very powerful. Even gods like rishis and gods like Shiva are shown to succumb to their desires if they have a weakness.
Right.
Now, whether it's really true or not, I don't know. But the point is that the scriptures show that even somebody who is as great as a sage, as a rishi, can succumb to a temptation. They show nymphs or dancing girls who come and the person is deep in meditation, opens his eye. And normally if Lou or I go and the third eye opens, that third eye destroys him right there into ashes with his fury, because right. He says, you disturbed my meditation after so many years. But a beautiful woman goes there and, you know, such a sage or rishi says, what are you here for? What are you looking for? And pretty soon the desire and completely takes over. Whether that really happens or not, I don't know. But basically it says, anybody can succumb to these. You have a weakness, you'll succumb, and your sattva will go away. There's this, in Ramayana, there's this demon called Ravan. And Ravan is a very accomplished demon. He's studied the scriptures, he's done a lot of penance, he's done meditation, and he's very, very well-reputed, king of a great kingdom. And he has one weakness, and that is for woman. And his sister comes to him and says, you know, Ram, he has a beautiful wife, Sita. And he says, oh. And then Ravan starts thinking about Sita and then ultimately goes and kidnaps her, takes her to his kingdom. And the whole Ramayana is all about Ram going to get Sita back and then ultimately destroying Ravan. But it is that one weakness that Ravan had that in spite of all his meditation and penance, he had to succumb to this weakness.
Right.
So we've seen many examples of this in the corporate world, in India, in the United States, in other parts of the world, corporate world, etc., and how they fall to this. And in verse 34, Krishna calls desire paripanthino, which is enemies. And verse 37, verse 39 and verse 43, in which he calls it shatru, which is enemy. So a wise person knows, somebody who's smart, even when he's overcome by his desires and angers, knows that his kama and krodha, his desire and anger, are defeating him. As it's happening, he knows it. One feels that if I can only let this desire be fulfilled, I'll be satisfied. It doesn't happen.
Right.
It's constant. It never is over. The kama krodha is the greatest enemy. You blame others for your weakness. You blame others for why you succumbed. But how do you attack this greatest enemy? That if you could get this enemy out, then you can meditate, and only then can you achieve the whole purpose of the Gita. So this is still the third chapter. Krishna is telling you, look, you got to get rid of these things before you can start to meditate and get to be the next stage. But you have to get rid of this enemy first. And he talks to Arjuna as this being an enemy, like you are a soldier. So he says a bright enemy usually has multiple locations. He doesn't hide. He puts one battalion here, one battalion over there, one battalion somewhere else. So he says this enemy has three locations. Each, the first location is in our senses. The second location is in our mind. And the third location is in our intellect, which is buddhi. So the first location is in our senses as likes and dislikes. I like this, I don't like this. Each sense has its own likes and dislikes, just not just in humans, but all animals, plants, they have likes and dislikes. Second reside as emotions, as sankalpa and vikalpa, which are pros and cons. And the third resides in the buddhi, in the intellect. And when it goes into the buddhi, it justifies why I like this. So the first resides in the senses as kama, krodha, the likes and dislikes. And when the likes and dislikes go into the mind, then you say, I love it. First you say, I like it. But then as it goes, seeps deeper into the mind joins forces with those sense organs,
right,
which are just an extension of the mind, and says, I love it or I hate it. It's become much stronger now because it's become gone from a like to an emotion or a desire. And intellect, we justify, we rationalize our anger, our love, our hatred. It now resides in the intellect because you say, you make some rationalization. You say, well, you know, I love this blonde guy who's sitting in front of me. Right. My husband, he's busy with his own work. This man shows me. Whatever it is that you rationalize it to say that you can justify through your intellect why it's okay to like this big, tough, handsome guy who works with you as opposed to your husband. Now that it's in your intellect, it becomes much harder because now you're justifying why your like and your desire is okay. What Krishna says is, it's easiest to control when they're in the senses. And as we said in the last episode, with the marshmallow example, if your eyes are looking at something, your senses are looking at something that are causing you to generate desires, stop looking.
Yeah.
If your mind is thinking about something, stop thinking. Move your thoughts, move your senses away from that sense object. It's most difficult in the intellect. For example, another example of justification. You know, in India, Shiva used to, one day in the year, drink something called bhang, loo. Bhang is a concoction made by grinding the equivalent of marijuana.
Okay.
And it's a concoction made by mixing things that gets you high.
Right.
Now, obviously, you can't compare yourself with Shiva. You say, well, Shiva did it, so it's okay for me to do.
Right.
But a lot of people say, well, Shiva did it, so it's okay for me to do, and get into big problems. That's when it's gone from your likes to desire to your mind to your intellect, and now you're justifying it.
Right.
Same thing with anger. When you dislike something and goes and you keep thinking about your dislikes, it becomes anger. And the first expression is through your voice box. Remember, we had five organs of action.
Right.
Your hands, your legs, your voice box, your organs of excretion, and your reproductive organs. So the first expression is through the voice box, usually.
Yeah.
So when you get angry, immediately control your voice box. Stop saying what you think you're going to say before you even use your fists. So Bhagwan says, Lord Krishna says, control your senses. Destroy your desires because it destroys your knowledge, which you get from books and teachers, and it destroys your wisdom, vijnana. When your knowledge becomes your own, it's wisdom. Knowledge is borrowed. And Bhagwan says, control it at this point. So verse 40 says, the senses, mind, and intellect are said to be its seat, the seat of these desires. Veiling wisdom through these, it deludes the embodied, meaning it deludes the self because the desires and its anger, concomitant anger, hides in the senses, the mind, and the intellect, and you block it, blocks your wisdom. Same thing that we were saying before, it's a repetition. And then at the physical level, body has a desire for senses, seeing, smelling, tasting, hearing, and touching. Most human beings suffer from at least one or two of these five. If you suffer from all five, forget it. God help you. At the level of the mind, it's emotions. You get attached to your emotions. You're attached to your kids, your wife, your husband. These are all desires at the level of the mind. Those are very much, compared with the senses, more difficult, but you can combine the two. Intellect, such people get overcome by desires for knowledge also. Craving for knowledge is called jignasu. Somebody who just says, I want to just keep hearing more about this, learning more about this, but really doesn't put it into effect, and it doesn't go sink into the level of prakriti. So when we have to attack these, we have to go into the enemy territory to attack. We have to control our senses. We have to position ourselves at a level higher than where the enemy is. So if your level is at the level of the senses, you have to ally yourself with your intellect and use your intellect to say why this is not good for you. Because subtler than the sense organs is subtler than the sense objects is the sense organ. Subtler than the sense organ is the mind. Subtler than the mind is the buddhi. And subtler than the buddhi is the self. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? So I have here a spoon. And let's say I'm attracted to this spoon.
Okay.
I'm visualizing it. Mm-hmm. This is my sense organ. This is a sense object. If I close my eyes, I don't see this spoon anymore.
Right.
So this cannot overcome my sense organ. My sense organ is at a subtler level than the spoon, which is a sense object.
Right.
Beyond that is my mind. So for instance, if I'm asleep, fast asleep, and you open my eyes in my sleep and you say, look, here's the sense object again, but my mind is not responding, it has no effect on me.
Right.
Unless the mind is participating with the sense organs, eyes, ears, touch, etc., doesn't matter. You don't succumb. So the highest level is the self, Atman. One level below that is the intellect. Now, none of us can go to the level of the Atman, but we can definitely go to the level of the intellect and use that to control the mind, to control the senses. So last two verses. Verse 41, therefore, Arjuna, controlling first the senses, indeed kill this sinful destroyer of knowledge and wisdom, desire.
Yeah.
How do you tackle the enemy, desire? First, start at the sensual level. Since the senses are the grossest part of your personality, it is easier to develop self-control. Emotions is more difficult. Whenever you can put effort, do so. Control your sense organs, especially your eyes. When it wants to look and keep looking at something that you find yourself tempted to, don't look. Go back to the last episode, which was it, episode 43. Mm-hmm. Look at the marshmallow experiment that Lou and I were talking about. Control your eyes. That's the one thing. Control your thoughts. Don't let your thoughts keep going to something that you're tempted to do. Control your life. Exercise, sleep adequately, but not too much. Control your appetite, control your sleep, control your eating, gain knowledge. These are all ways in which you can control and kill these desires. Verse 42, the senses are said to be great. Greater than the senses is the mind. Greater than the mind is the intellect. And then greater than the intellect is the Atman. Same thing, it just keeps going over it again because it is so important. Intellect is a faculty which is more inner than and subtle than pervasive, more pervasive.
Right.
Higher than the intellect is the Atman. If you want to overcome kaam or desire, you've got to go through the intellect. Don't come under the sway of the sense organs, likes and dislikes. at the level of the mind, don't come under, I love this, I hate this, yep. at the level, negate all the justifications that your mind comes up with for wanting to do something wrong. Verse 43, thus knowing that which is greater than the intellect, which is the Atman, and restraining the self by the self, kill the enemy in the form of desire, since it is hard to conquer.
Yeah.
So we did a lot of verses today, friends.
Yes.
I am sorry we crammed it all in into one episode, but this is not something that we can get just by one listening. This has to be listened to over and over again. Take paper, take pen, write it down, and think about it for your own sake. Let it seep in from knowledge into wisdom. Let it become second nature to you.
Because so this is important before we move on. We have to master this.
Correct,
yeah.
correct. So thank you for joining us. Please visit us on Facebook, The Gita, Memoirs of a Psychiatrist. Write to me. I would really appreciate that. Comments, suggestions, criticisms, etc. And we'll see you next time.
All right, excellent.